It's comedy at the Carlson Cast with your inflatable host, Vinny Paulino.
I'm a large baby.
The clearly deflated Brian Ball. And I'm as Nick Lavasser as I am full of spider eggs. And today we've got the one and only Tom Green. Let's send it over to your host, Mr. Vinny Paulino.
You should see someone about the spider eggs, Nick. I've been telling you this for a while.
No.
Okay. Hey, everybody. We are back after a, what has this been, three-week hiatus?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, my gosh. It's been glorious. But I missed you. I missed you. And I want to say hi to everybody watching live on YouTube right now, on Facebook Live. You guys are the coolest. The text line is open, 585-484-0265. Feel free to text in your questions for Tom Green today. Also, a big thank you to those of you who are listening to the audio version of the show on iTunes, Google Play.
You're the real heroes.
My real heroes. And my real heroes, you Spotify folks. God bless you.
We couldn't do it without you. Isn't that the line we're supposed to say?
Oh, I could do it without them. I mean, people have been doing podcasts without listeners for quite a while.
That's true.
It's not unheard of.
The format is not dependent on it.
That is correct. Solid point. Yeah. Solid point. So we've had a lot of cool things happening at the club over the last few weeks. And I got to say, one of the biggest and the most exciting is the 2018 Funniest Person in Rochester contest.
Yes.
It concluded last night, and a champion was crowned.
Who was it?
It was the lady sitting on our couch today, Mrs. Sidney Arena.
Yes, here I am.
That's why she's here. That's why she's here.
Yep. That's why Sidney's here.
Yeah, that's
that's because, why I'm here.
Because behold the champ.
I'm funny.
We should have given you entrance music or something
like
that. Pyro?
Yeah. Something, cool. But that's all right. My goal up next is probably to be painted out there, those dead comics. It's going to be me next.
Oh, well, I'm racing you to the grave.
Me and Vinny right next to each other out there.
You're one step away.
Yeah, we're close.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. What a day. Cindy, you won last night.
I know, crazy, right?
You won. I think you, second place was Sam Bloomquist, great kid.
Yeah.
Third place was Sean Day, great.
Yep.
And shout out to Sherelle Kinder, Chris Hasenauer, and
Liz Reeves, yep.
Hysterical group of people. You came out on top. What'd you do to celebrate last night?
Vinny, I went home and went to bed, Vinny.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when you're old, you know, this is rough.
I would say most of the time when you're old, right, Brian?
Is it a nice bed anyway?
Yeah, it's good.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, then that was a great way to spend the
Yeah, that's how I celebrated. I went home and I ate some chili and I went to bed.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So,
and the people that you went up against went home and they're also
probably
ate chili, but they cried.
Yeah, well, right, but they are probably they were the young ones. They probably all went out and celebrated, second and third.
Yeah,
they had a lot of awkward car rides home. You bring five of your friends and then you lose and everybody has to pretend like, oh, you did good.
Way
buddy.
To go, second place.
I love when Buffalo comics bring a shitload of people out here and then lose because that's got to be the most fun.
Oh, it's
fun
an hour and a half
ever.
Ride.
Oh.
Yeah, now they just know how the Bills feel after every road game. But,
they
you
should
know,
be used to it anyway.
Exactly
yeah.
right. Buffalo
yeah,
should
I
be
think they're okay.
used to yeah. losses.
Right.
Sabres, please.
Yeah, we had a lot of Buffalo people, didn't we, this time?
You know, there's always a good mixture.
We had a couple
of
Syracuse.
Mm-hmm. We had, I made it a point this year to only really advertise this contest happening in Rochester because I only wanted Rochester folks because it's the Funniest Person in Rochester contest.
Yeah.
But the word got out.
It did.
We had folks from Syracuse, Buffalo,
Corning.
Albany.
All those damn Inuits.
Did you just say all those damn Inuits?
Yeah, yeah.
They're from Alaska.
Yeah, they're the native Alaskan people. There was like three comics in the first week. Don't you remember?
The Inuits?
No.
Oh, those who the people who brought the sleigh dogs?
Yeah.
We got to mention to Mark to improve the ventilation in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh,
Nick's seeing things.
Nick's, once again. I don't think this is a Mark problem. I'm pretty sure it's a Nick problem.
No.
So, Cindy, let's talk about you and stand-up. It's,
it's
quite,
crazy, right?
It's quite a victory. How long have you been
doing
this now?
Here it is. I've been told my whole life you should do stand up, and I always struggled with them. Am I socially funny, or could I be funny on the stage too? Because you sometimes it's not the same.
Absolutely.
So so it took 57 years for me to finally think, you know what, I'm going to do stand up. So I went onto the Rochester comedy pages on Facebook, which if anyone's interested in doing open mic, anything, getting into it, that's where to start. Go follow those
in
pages.
In this city, absolutely.
And they will, you know, they were always posting. So they were posting and there was a class on there. And I thought, you know, maybe I should take a class because I'm not sure about like the time, the lights. There's a lot of little things people that.
Sure.
Yeah, and the unwritten rules.
You don't realize, you know, the. You know, behind the scene things that you need to know.
Absolutely.
So I took the class, and after my first day of class, I'm like, I'm just going to do it. So I just started going to open mics, and I was hitting them hard 3-4 nights a week for the last 3 months to try to get ready for this.
Paid off, huh?
Yeah, so it was, you know, working on material, and I've learned so much, not just from the class, but from the other comics. These kids have been so nice to me. And I say kids because it's me and 30, 25-year-old straight boys at open mic. I'm with my daughter's entire dating pool and this old lady. So
I'm only 43 and I feel the same way.
You know?
You're only 43?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Time has been cruel,
but
Brian.
It is a lot of the young kids are out there doing the grind at the open mic, you know?
Hold on. What year were you born?
1975.
Nick, does that check out?
The year of our Lord, 1975.
I can't comprehend math, so.
All right. 43. Okay.
Driver's license?
No, I really don't. But I'm sorry. I just don't believe him. So, Cindy, you're working with, you know, coming out of the gate strong. You came in. You put in the work.
Yeah.
You won this contest. Mm-hmm. Now, my question is this. In Cindy Land, where are you heading next? What are you going to do next?
Well.
You going to keep grinding?
Yeah, you know, I think I will. I'll still I'm going to take a couple weeks off from the constant open mic. I mean, it's, you know, out at the bars and then having to get up early, go to work.
Yeah.
So I'll take a couple weeks off. I do, you know, I'll still do open mic on Tuesdays. And I'll just start writing more stuff. It's only been 3 months, so I'm not using, you know, there's a lot more material that I need to tweak. So sure. I'll start working on more material.
That's what I like to hear because I think one of the things.
Yeah, I hope to get. Obviously I'm working towards a solid 20.
Sure.
So right now I have a solid 15 because I keep on letting out.
One of the things I always try to recommend to people when they start out, and you know, everybody's path is very different. You know, not a lot of people start off 3 months and win a pretty major contest like this, but. I always say to people, your act is never done.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing to do when you've got, say, 5 minutes that you like, is to not worry about just doing a ton of more time, is really just to sit down and focus on this tight five, because that tight five is the thing that opens a lot of doors.
So it gets you paid.
Working to get to 20 is great.
Right.
But you got to learn to really crawl well before you walk that way. And then that 5 minutes is what clubs want to see.
Yeah.
That's what they want to see for auditions, for anything. And that is like the one thing. If you're listening to this and you're, you know, in the first year of stand-up, I always say when you come out of your first year, you want to have a very polished 5 minutes you can do forwards and backwards. Mm-hmm. That is punch, 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 punch. And I really respect you for wanting to write more material and to keep writing.
Right. Because I'm so new. I have a pretty tight 4 to 5, but because I'm so new, I know it can be better.
Sure.
You know,
everybody can be better.
Right. So, you know, I also do photography and I do art and I know that looking back at some of my old work, I look at it and I thought I was good. That was not good. So I hope in 3 years, 2 years, I'll look back at my jokes and say those weren't good. And
you
I
should.
Hope to be that
you,
much
you,
better.
You should. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Here's a sincere compliment from me to you. And I want you to know that I mean this. One of the things that is, I know that you took a class. One of the things that is completely innate and not something that can be taught is a stage presence.
Right.
And Cindy, you could step on a stage and you could start talking, and people shut up and listen.
Yeah,
and that's
something.
Something.
Yeah.
You know, but Vinny, I don't know if this is the case. I get up there, and this is what I see with their mouth. So I don't know if they're looking like, what is she going to say? either way, I've got their attention, though, as soon as I walk up.
And let me tell you, something. How many open mics, you say you're going to 3 or 4 a week. Yeah. How many open mics have you sat there and you watched people walk up and start mumbling into the microphone and trying to tell jokes with super long setups?
Yep.
Not that I'm trying to call anybody out over here.
No. Yeah.
Nick, pay attention.
What?
That I'm trying. Super long, boring setups.
Stone cold killer.
I'm not a stand-up comic. I'm a moderately successful producer. So eat a dick, Vinny.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about Brian.
But nevertheless,
you said Nick, pay attention. Also, you're frozen.
So why are you holding it on me?
Because it's funny.
Do it again. All right. Well, don't show me anymore. We're gonna wrap this up and fix that problem in a second. But Cindy, sincere congratulations.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You're on the right track. And honestly, 3 months in, I wish you all the best in the world. And if there's anything we could do here to help you,
I'm hoping eventually to get some work here. You know.
Well, you won the contest. Yeah, you're gonna be doing something.
So, yeah.
You're gonna see Cindy on our stage pretty soon, folks. So.
You know.
And you seem like a good'un, so congratulations.
Congratulations. Let's take a second. And, Nick, you don't have to show me, but we got to talk about our sponsors real fast.
Yeah, we do.
Let's start off with our good pals at Sapori Cafe and Catering.
Ow, they're so tender.
A lot of use.
This kid. I don't know what to do with this kid. Today, if you are hungry and you're looking for somewhere to go to lunch in Rochester Friday the 13th, this is an omen for you. The Vinnie Paulino Pizza Panini is the special of the day, baby.
So many deaths. So many deaths.
Except for me. Every time you eat one, I get a part of your soul. delicious. 2 slices of pepperoni, peat char, and cut pepperoni pizza with all sorts of delicious things in the middle that I believe Chef Joe referred to them as salted meats.
Aww.
So many salted meats. And I also have to give a shout out to my buddy Chris Lindstrom over at Food About Town for having Chef Joe and I on his podcast this past week.
Oh, cool.
I think that's going to drop. And Chris is a really good guy. He's beaten me the last 2 years in a row for the Pest Local podcast. So yeah. I guess I figured if you can't beat him, join him and go do one with him and hang out.
You infiltrated.
Chris Lindstrom,
you
good dude.
Bees.
Sapori Cafe and Catering inside the Powers Building atrium. They can cater your special event and check them out on Instagram and Facebook at Sapori Rochester. Three Heads Brewing. The month of July, my man Eli Flynn is the artist in residency Thursday nights.
Oh, I know Eli.
Eli is something else. Eli has already started to transcend this town. He's going to be
He's
a talented
huge.
Cat.
And he's an extremely handsome man.
I can't stand him. He's everything I hate. Talent, looks.
He is a handsome man.
Blech. But go see him every Thursday night in the month of July. They're doing a lot of special shows. And get yourself some Three Heads. You get it at Wegmans or wherever fine beers are sold. And boom, we're keep moving. Handcrafted in upstate New York. It's Iron Smoke Whiskey.
Ow!
Did you try to clap again? What happened?
Huh? Yeah.
IronSmokeWhiskey.com. Available in 2 varieties, Applewood Smoke Whiskey and Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey. Nick, should we put some in me?
Huh?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Nick. We're going to say we're going to be back in just a few minutes with our pal Tom Green. So could you get off of my computer screen? What are you doing?
I don't know. It was there.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in again to the Comedy at the Carlson cast. We have some big shows coming here to the club this summer. This weekend, we have the incredible Mr. Tom Green, as you may know because you're waiting for an interview with him. Coming up next week, we have Ryan Hamilton. July 27th and 28th, we have Thea Vidal. Then Greg Fitzsimmons, August 3rd and 4th. We also have Rich Voss. And Adele Gibbons. That's pretty good, too. Marlon Wayans, August 23rd and 25th. Get your tickets. They're selling pretty fast. Robert Powell III will be here August 30th or September 1st. Gary Goldman, September 6th through 8th. Gilbert Gottfried, backed by popular demand, September 14th and 15th. Jeremy Piven, Ari Gold himself, September 21st and 22nd. And if you'd like to get tickets to a show, all you have to do is visit carlsoncomedy.com or call 5854-COMEDY, and we got your hookup. Hope to see you sometime soon, Rochester.
This looks good, though, yeah.
Hey, everybody, I'm Unfrozen. Welcome back to the Comedy at the Carlson cast. Thanks, Cindy Arena, for stopping in. And now, the main event. Our guest, he's be performing four shows this weekend here at Comedy at the Carlson. You get your tickets at 585 for comedy, for laughs. What was it?
For comedy.
I've been off for like three weeks. I screwed up. Or CarlsonComedy.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Tom Green is here.
Great to be here. This is awesome. Oh, look at this.
Don't you look good?
Let me get seated here. Let's sit up straight here for the show. Yeah, absolutely. Fix my hair, if that's possible. Okay, there we are. Hello, everybody. Good to see you. Oh, let me put the microphone towards me.
Yeah, it picks up pretty good.
It's pretty good. I think you're right. You're pretty good.
Probably want to have that kind of like this.
Whatever works for you, man.
That's what you wanted, like that.
You're trying to add another credit to your line.
Sound audio. That's the way you want the microphone.
Lighting and sound design.
Yeah, you want the microphone pointing at you like that. Yeah, so that's good. Yeah, great. There we go.
Great.
There you go. Yeah, you guys might want to do that too, actually. Point the microphone.
I don't, though.
Yeah.
I really don't.
You want to sound, you know, like you're really using the effect.
Like this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Hello, everyone.
Do, like this.
Do I sound better?
Yeah, I think you would for sure sound
testies,
better.
One,
Nick, do
two,
I sound better?
Three?
Kind of, sort of. But I definitely do, so I appreciate your input, Tom, other than these two jackasses.
Yeah. I would just
Sure.
Oh, lay down. Yes.
Do you want to maybe move the camera, Nick, or switch a little bit? Okay.
Okay. Well, this is broken. Huh?
Yeah, it just broke because you pulled on it. I broke it the other day.
That's what she said.
Oh, I got a sad mic now. Right.
I love it.
Limp mics.
There you go.
Story of my life.
There you are.
I'm like a sad microphone.
Mine's good.
Mine's all limp.
I get it, Tom.
Mine's all...
I hate when that happens. Yeah, I studied broadcasting in college, so there you go. That's good.
True fact, Tom.
There you go.
Yeah. I did not.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell.
So you,
but no, this is really good what you guys are doing here. I mean, this is amazing. I like the new lighting. I love the setup here. I love that you've got all your trinkets on the wall there.
I call them my toys.
Your toys, yeah. It's really, I love the Lenny Bruce poster on the wall.
Thank you.
And the Rodney Dangerfield. This is sweet, man. It reminds me kind of like of... You know what I was doing a few years ago? I built my TV studio in my living room, and you just personalize it, and you make your own space, and then you have you must have a lot of fun here. This is cool. I'm a little bit jealous, to be honest with you, because I miss doing my WebOvision show. I do a podcast now, though. If you go on tomgreen.com, I am doing a podcast, but I just do it with a portable microphone when I travel.
I was going to ask you about that. You really kind of haven't been doing much of the video stuff, just kind of sticking to the audio.
Yeah, you know, I've done so much video over the years that I'm just really been focusing on touring and doing my stand up and not as much video as I have in the past. But I've got a few new projects that are going to be coming out soon on television that I'll be doing some more video stuff again soon. So
now, how was your residency in Vegas? Is it still going on?
It's going good. Yeah, I'm at Harrah's Casino. I'm there once a month right now. I'm back in August. So come see me at Harrah's. I've been doing shows in Vegas now for about a year. I was at Bally's and then we just moved over to Harrah's. And it's super fun. You know, you got people from all over the country there in Vegas and all over the world, really. So it's a kind of different experience as a performer because you got an audiences from all over the place in one spot. So.
That's got to be a little weird, though, because it's like, you know, you got Betty and Joe from Iowa,
yeah,
and then you got New York people over
there.
Yeah,
Betty and Joe were there, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were very nice.
Send my love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send my love.
They brought you cookies.
Potato farmers. No, you know, listen, I think that's kind of what's fun about it, too, in Vegas. But it is harder. It is harder to you know, channel the energy of a crowd when they're from all over the world.
Sure.
As when that's why, you know, it's kind of, you know, fun in a different way on the road. Because when you come to a city, you know, I'm here in Rochester this weekend. You know, we're here right now at the club,
right?
At the Carlson, and it's like you can kind of connect with an audience when they're all from the same place. Because
sure.
Yeah, I mean, I could have some stories to tell. Like I drove here from Ottawa yesterday,
mm-hmm,
through New York State, which was a lot of fun. And sort of really put it in perspective how close Rochester is to Ottawa, the city I grew up in.
Yeah.
I mean, I live in Los Angeles now, but I'm home visiting my parents. And I've decided this is what I'm going to start doing in the summer. I'm going to go home and visit my parents in the summer,
right,
when the weather's good. and then do, you know, book some stand-up shows around the region here.
Now, last time you were here, you actually brought your parents to the show. Are they going to be making an appearance this weekend?
My parents are not coming down this weekend, okay. No. But we're going to have a good time anyway, yeah.
So you probably have more fun without them.
Probably, yeah.
So
yeah.
Every summer you can swing by and fix something in the studio for
us? Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be great. And within 4 or 5 years, we'll have this place working.
Honestly, I don't want to be critical. This is looking great, guys. You really are.
Listen, I appreciate
lighting
it.
Lighting looks great, yeah.
Most people walk in here and are just like, oh, this is great, and they never give us any advice or anything. We're trying to be good at this.
We literally have not moved the lights since you moved them.
It's super cool. No, it looks good. Yeah, it's looking good.
Even to vacuum, we're afraid.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell you didn't vacuum. No, it's nice and clean.
Yeah, we definitely don't vacuum.
Nice and clean in here for sure.
Oh, shucks.
But, because I grew up, like I told you last time, I probably told you I grew up watching a lot of Rochester television.
That's right.
Like I would watch, the J&E grocery commercials on when we'd watch Letterman.
You guys had J&E. WUHF, Fox Rochester, right? Is that accurate?
We had the NBC affiliate, we had all the channels.
Do you know Mike Dambra? He's an Ottawa comic now.
Yes, I know the name, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He lives up in Ottawa now, and he tells us he still gets, like, Fox Rochester. He's originally from here.
Yeah.
And he still gets a lot of channels up here, which is really odd.
I think they switched it to the Detroit affiliate or something a few years back. But when I was growing up, we had Rochester Doppler Radar. We had Virginia Butler, Janet Lomax, Gabe Dalmuth. We had the J&E grocery commercials, 129 Reynolds Street. We've got pork chops, 99 cents a pound. Right. And then we had the Great House of Guitars commercials.
Sure.
Of course, which we loved.
Have you ever been?
I haven't been to the House of Guitars.
You're a music guy. You should really go check
it
out.
Yeah, I think I have been once, but it's been a few years. But I grew up watching those commercials, and I think the commercials were so, rad, frankly, that I think it was in one... something that sort of was in my mind as far as I want to do crazy stuff on TV, because I'd watch Letterman at night and then these House of Guitars commercials would come on and I was a kid and I was thinking, that looks pretty rad,
I choose to thank J&E Grocery for your career.
Yeah, thank you.
I think that's the one that I think I really
I've
probably
actually,
great pork chops, too. Pork chops.
I can't wait till the next time I see Armin.
99 cents a pound.
Tom Green used to watch your commercials as a kid, and it might have very well influenced the direction television went in
and
for a good decade.
Yeah, you guys have Chuck E. Cheese here, right?
Unfortunately, yes. Still got one.
Yeah. Yeah. You do, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, we don't have Chuck E. Cheese in Canada, or at least we didn't back then.
Yeah, you didn't miss much.
And, I would see those Chuck E. Cheese commercials on TV from Rochester, and I was just so jealous as a kid. You imagine a kid... being a kid, watching those cool Chuck E. Cheese commercials and not getting to go to Chuck E. Cheese.
That's really kind of going to be torture.
I grew
it's
up
a sad
in the
thing.
And my parents would refuse to take me to it. So
this is what it's like being a fat guy in Rochester up until last year when they just had Sonic commercials all the time before we had Sonics.
Yeah.
I was totally like teased by all of their sugary drinks.
Have you ever been to the hell that is a Chuck E. Cheese party, though?
No.
Oh, it's awful.
What is it?
It's my daughter had Chuck E. Cheese birthday parties for years.
Oh,
the
worst
experience ever.
Yeah, I've never been to a Chuck E. Cheese.
Some little girl.
I've never been to a Chuck E. Cheese.
Beat up the animatronic.
I kind of want to take you to Chuck E. Cheese.
I've never been to
honestly,
a Chuck E. Cheese.
Would you want to go to the ball pit? Jump in the ball pit?
No, I mean, it seems like it would be fun for a few minutes, for sure.
You could probably have a scream for about 10 minutes.
They serve alcohol there now.
Yeah. Wow. Where is it exactly?
There's one in Henrietta.
Oh, of course it's in Henrietta. Yeah. I remember the commercials.
Yeah.
I don't even know where Henrietta is, but that jogs the memory for sure.
Henrietta. Henrietta's where we keep all our stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
I like
our
that.
Closet.
It's where we keep all the colleges.
I know Henrietta.
Yeah.
There are two choices for Chuck E. Cheese. I believe there's also a West Side Greece location.
Yeah. I know a lot about the United States, though. I've been... trying to learn as much about it as possible since I live in America.
You speak the language well.
Yeah. I've been living in the United States now for almost 20 years. I moved to New York in 99, and then I moved to L.A. a year later when the show was on MTV. I think we know more about America than Americans know about Canada because of the sort of media influence, right?
Yeah. I think that's 100% true.
Yeah. We watch the movies. We watch the television from the United States, so it's kind of cool. We're your neighbors to the north. I see you've got the late great John Candy on the wall,
Canadian icon,
Canadian legend. Yeah,
in the other room, and there we have a tribute to John Dunsworth.
Oh, okay,
late John Dunsworth, and I have to say, it was cool seeing you on Trailer Park Boys America. Speaking of Canadian imports of television.
Yes, I love the Trailer Park Boys. Those guys are good friends of mine.
Oh, really?
And I'll be doing some stuff with them this year as well.
Oh, cool.
We're always doing some cool stuff together. They always keep including me in their amazing things they do, so I love them. They're legendary and hilarious. I can name all of the presidents of the United States.
Okay.
Go.
Challenge.
I can name every single one of them in order.
I have a few names for some.
You want to pull it up on Google and
let's play the game. Hold on, folks.
I will do every president of the United States. Okay.
I'm excited.
You just pull
about
it up,
this.
And then I'll name them.
So listen,
in order.
Folks. I think the fair way to do this.
Canadian.
Here, okay, so what I like to do is my screen. It's on my screen, Nick.
Yeah.
But I don't want Tom to see it. So, yeah. Tom, I'm gonna have you avert your eyes.
I don't need to see it.
Okay. Yeah. Nick, you could show my screen.
Well, we can do that, so we can all watch.
Perfect. Perfect.
I don't need to look.
Ready?
Yeah. Sure.
Canadian icon Tom Green.
Yeah. Here we go.
Action.
The presidents of the United States of America.
I love that band.
Okay. George Washington.
Mm-hmm. Check. Okay.
John Adams.
Huh?
Thomas Jefferson.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. Wrote the Declaration of Independence.
You're killing it, Bri. Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson. James Madison.
Accurate.
James Monroe.
Only accurate. 40 more.
Yeah. Actually, only... Yeah, okay. John Quincy Adams.
Nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Jackson.
Correct.
Martin Van Buren.
Love him. One of my faves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Old Marty.
William, had a hair. William Henry Harrison.
What was the one that got stuck in a tub?
We're getting there.
Okay, okay.
John Tyler.
In about 20 presidents, we'll get to him.
John Tyler.
That's correct.
Ooh, 35 wow. more.
Yeah. Now we would be into a
about 1845.
James K. Polk.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Zachary Taylor.
There's a lot of nothing presidents in this kind of era.
Yeah.
Millard Fillmore.
How is Millard a name?
Yeah. Yeah.
How's it
Franklin Pierce.
Yeah.
Wow. It's just nothing once in a row.
And then you would have James Buchanan.
They let anybody be president.
Next one's a big one.
James, yes, then you have Abraham Lincoln.
Sold. Got it.
Heard him.
Andrew Johnson. Ulysses S. Grant.
Spitting hot.
Rutherford B. Hayes.
Oh, one of the best.
And
he sounds like a wrestling name, doesn't it?
James Garfield.
Yep.
Inspiration for the cartoon cat.
Yeah. Then you would have Chester A. Arthur. Grover Cleveland.
There it is.
Benjamin Harrison.
Uh-huh.
Grover Cleveland again.
Also an inspiration for a cartoon cat.
Yeah. And William McKinley.
Shot in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Fun little fact about him.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Then you would have yourself a Theodore Roosevelt.
You certainly would.
A William Howard Taft.
The bathtub ruiner.
Thank you. Taft.
Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah.
That fucking guy.
Warren G. Harding.
Nailed it.
Love his albums.
Calvin Coolidge.
Yep.
And the band.
Then you would have yourself, after Calvin Coolidge, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. No, Herbert Hoover.
There it is.
Good save, Herbert Hoover.
Uh-huh.
You were one syllable
Franklin
away from failure.
Delano Roosevelt.
Yep.
Harry Truman.
Yep.
Dwight D. Eisenhower.
That's a guy, yep.
John F. Kennedy.
Yep. You're spitting hot fire there, Tom.
Richard Nixon.
Miss somebody.
Definitely.
John F. Kennedy. Oh, Lyndon Johnson, there yeah, of course, is. Yeah.
Lyndon B.
Then Richard Nixon. Then Gerald Ford. Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
George H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
William Jefferson Clinton. George Bush. Barack Obama. And Hillary Clinton.
Slow burn. Slow burn. All the way to the end.
You went a long way for that joke. Yeah. But,
thank you for the letters
out.
We're now going to get.
I almost messed up a couple times, but you sort of...
We'll let it slide.
It was not quite a perfect... rendition.
Goddamn impressive.
That's
Sarah.
Impressive. I've lived here for 30 years and I couldn't do that, but I could tell you all the actors to play Doctor Who.
Yeah. Oh, can you really do that? Wow, that's pretty cool.
Well, let's save that for the list podcast we're going to be starting. So, where we just list things.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem.
Condiments.
We're coming for you. We didn't start the fire.
Oh, dear God.
But it's an exciting time to be Canadian, you know. I've been living in the United States now for, like I said, almost 20 years. I know the president of the U.S. I know Donald Trump personally.
Were you on The Apprentice?
I was, yeah. I was on season 2 of The Celebrity Apprentice. Uh-huh. Trump fired me for going out drinking with Dennis Rodman.
Could you not?
Yeah, but he loves Kim Jong-un for doing it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's really interesting.
That's a good point. That's a good tag. I got to.
Well, thank you. I tried.
I'm going to add that to my show tonight.
Please do.
Thank you very much.
It's only those under his temporary
when I tell my stories about knowing the president.
Yeah. I gave you a lighting design credit, so I'll take a writer's credit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you got a writer's credit on my stand up show now.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
When you're doing The Apprentice, The Celebrity Apprentice, and you meet this guy for the first time, you have no idea he's going to run for president or win, right? Like, that's not a thing that's even in your brain, is it?
No, I knew, actually.
How so?
I could tell that he was the kind of guy that would... It actually, at one point it even came up, somebody said, because he talked politics a lot in the boardroom when we weren't filming. And someone said, are you going to run for president? And he sort of said, maybe, yeah. And I could tell that he would be the kind of divisive the divisive energy that would probably work well in a sort of a fragmented media universe with the internet and stuff. I predicted it. I did a music video
pre-apocalypse
called Do the Donald Trump Before He Was Elected for funnierdie.com.
I'm looking that up right now.
A rap song called Do the Donald. And a lot of the Trump supporters got really mad at me about it. So I'm not too political.
They're mad about a lot of things.
Yeah,
though.
I don't get too political anymore in my stand-up because so much comedy now, it's all politics. It's all politics.
Hit my screen, Nick.
And but if you notice in this video, I referenced that he hasn't even picked his vice presidential.
Turn the audio up on my PC, Nick.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a line in there that says, my vice president... meatloaf for Gary Busey. Like, he hasn't even chosen his running mate yet. So this was before he was even the nominee.
Oh,
I made this. He was not even the Republican nominee yet when I made this.
The audio's not coming through.
You don't have the audio?
Right.
Okay, well, it's on funnierdie.com. It's a fun video.
Let's get some hits on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, are you a citizen?
I'm a permanent resident green card holder.
Hells yeah.
So you can do everything but vote, basically.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
We don't really talk politics on the show, but I'm fascinated now that you brought up that you actually met the man and you're sitting in the boardroom and he starts talking. I mean, what was your first impression when he just started going off on one of these political rants when you're listening to him? I mean, what are you sitting there thinking?
He didn't talk politics too much, but
right.
No, to be honest with you, I was a fan of the show, The Celebrity Apprentice.
I won't take anything away from the
show. I thought
it
was a funny show. I find he's very, before he was like had the, the future of the free world in the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch on television, Like, I enjoyed watching him yell at, LaToya Jackson and
this ice cream.
And
you did not sell enough of this
and
ice
me.
Cream.
I enjoyed watching him yell at me, and it was cool. So I mean, he's definitely, you can't keep your eyes off of him when he's on television. So it was.
You can't keep him off television.
Now you can't keep him off television. Yeah, but it was an interesting thing to be a part of. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's fascinating to me. And I will say this, just all political stuff aside. He did lose my vote when he picked Trace Adkins over Penn Jillette. I will say that. If anybody picks Trace Adkins over Penn Jillette, you got a problem.
Yes. Yeah.
He'll fix a lot of problems.
Yeah.
I think Penn will.
Yeah. Yes.
Make
absolutely.
Shit disappear.
Penn's a smart guy.
Oh, yeah. I love Penn Jillette's amazing. I was just on Penn and Teller's show in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
I was just going to ask, is there like a secret Las Vegas performers like?
Well, they have a TV show, and they do a magic show, and there's
Penn and Teller's Fool Us, correct? Is that the TV show?
Yeah, and I was just on it recently. So those guys are legendary, incredible Vegas performers. But I used to watch them on Letterman all the time growing up, and I love those guys. So
I have to say, your commitment to stand up is pretty cool. I know that you started off doing stand up, which is something that I didn't really know about you until we talked the first time.
Yeah,
and I love how it's kind of coming full circle for you, and that you're focusing on it.
Yeah.
But I have to ask you a question about how audiences perceive your stand-up.
Yeah.
And, like, did you have a hard time, like, you know, when you start stand-up and then you go on to television and you kind of create a television persona and then you go back to the stage, how do you reconcile the two? Because they're very different. But, I mean, how do you get pieces of the television persona mixed in with the stand-up world? Was that a difficult challenge for you, and how did you approach it?
You know, it wasn't really what I thought of as a challenge. I might have considered it more of a challenge until I started doing stand-up again.
Okay.
And the second I started doing stand-up again, I realized, you know, just having been on MTV and done the films and things like that, it just really makes it a lot, you know, it does make it actually easier, actually, to connect with the audience.
Yeah, and it puts asses in the seats.
I've got great fans that know me from all sorts of different things. So, you know, at my shows, you know, like, you know, if you have a good audience there, all you got to do is make sure that you're funny on stage. And if you're funny on stage and the people show up, you're going to have a great time. And I've got incredible fans from all over the world. Literally, I'm touring all over the world now doing stand-up. So
Betty and Joe from Iowa.
Yeah, exactly. And I just did a European tour just late last year. I was in Israel for the first time doing stand-up, doing a tour of Asia in the new year. I'm going to be in Hong Kong and Tokyo. And so it's like, it's kind of surreal. I get to see the whole world going around telling jokes. And basically, you know, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, like a lot of what I did on my show on MTV was rooted in stand-up. I mean, when I go out in the street and I'd be doing interviews with people on the street. That was
You're just doing crowd work
on the street. So, and that was all based off of me doing stand-up before. So I think it was a natural fit, you know. I mean, people are used to seeing people from television on do stand-up. I mean, you know, the biggest stand-up comedian in the world is Jerry Seinfeld, you know. And, you know, people know him from his television show, even though he did stand-up before. Yeah. Sure. People know him from a sitcom, which is not stand-up, but, you know, you just kind of go
they
do
were,
your thing.
They were
funny.
Very married, though, because, like, on his sitcom, he was a stand-up comedian, and every episode started off with clips of him doing stand-up.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have a massive hit, and you do, and you show yourself doing stand-up on your show, you have a career forever.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
I mean, just how that works. I guess I learned something. Your approach, maybe it didn't come as hard as I thought it would come. Like, for me, I would be very nervous about that, but it's cool to know that you really just went for it and it didn't really affect
you
much.
Well, look, there's a lot of people that, you know, I won't name names, but there's a lot of people that have television shows that have never done stand-up before, and then they try to go do stand-up and they don't know how to do stand-up.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of a very uncomfortable thing because you're ending up at some show where, oh, this person from a TV show is now trying to do stand-up, and you're basically in an audience watching a person do stand-up who's never done stand-up before, but they're booked because they're on TV, and it's just sort of doesn't make for a very good night. And then they usually end up doing stand-up for about a year, and then they realize they're not very good at it, and they quit. But I'd done stand-up for...
After doing a good run of clubs all over the country and banking.
I'd done it for a long time as a teenager until my 20s, so it's sort of in my blood, you know, so I kind of took to it very fast when I started doing it again, and it frankly was the best decision I think I ever made in my life, was to start doing stand-up again, because
telling me it's the worst decision I ever made when I started doing stand-up.
Yeah.
I believe you have me
for
confused
me, I love
once
it.
Again
I,
with the audience.
It's been, it's been life-changing for me. I mean, it's just to be doing comedy and have the energy of the crowd there and doing... tour in the world doing this is a blast. So
now world audiences, like when you were on MTV, it was like at its height, I would say. It was kind of the heyday.
Yeah.
And that is, I think MTV is one of the first things foreign countries get exposed to for American culture. So do you find when you go overseas that you still get just to the same crowd reaction you do over here?
Yeah. I mean, people come to a comedy show to have a good time and have some laughs. And whether you're in Australia or Toronto or Chicago or anywhere, you know, people I just want to laugh and have a good time. And we're living in such a connected world now that, you know, we're all watching the same news.
Yeah.
You know, we know we're all on Facebook. You know, people in Israel are on Facebook. People in Rochester are on Facebook. So the experience, we're all stuck on our cell phones. The human experience is more similar now than it's ever been, probably in all of human history.
We're all terrified.
You know, that
in the same
is
way.
A brilliant observation, really, because it is similar. We're all looking at the same thing, and everybody's got an iPhone or an Android.
We're all connected,
at least in this country.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like that all over the world. Everyone's on their Snapchat, and so it's a global marketplace now. You know, and comedy translates. It does. Now you have to be aware that you're in a different place. And because I'm not American, I grew up in a different country.
Yeah.
I'm aware of, you know, things that, you know, really play in America. Yeah. Like, you know, if I was doing stand up in England and started talking about the Super Bowl, like that might go over people's heads because they don't really watch the NFL over there. But I know the things that you know, or Chuck E. Cheese. You know that they don't have Chuck E. Cheese in Australia. You know, so but I know the references that don't. There's a lot of pop culture references that just don't connect. So you have to kind of identify them pretty quick. And as a Canadian, it's easier for me to know. Oh yeah, I'm probably not going to make a Chuck E. Cheese reference when I'm performing in Toronto because nobody really knows what Chuck E. Cheese is. You know,
right? Yeah, house guitarist jokes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Those actually.
Chuck E. Cheese probably didn't go over well in Israel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. No Chuck E. Cheese.
Understood.
No
Understood.
Chuck E. Cheese in Tel Aviv. Yeah.
So.
That sounds like a great album title. No Chuck E. Cheese in Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
The title of somebody's really, really sad autobiography. So I have to ask this question because I feel like in a lot of ways you've been kind of a polarizing figure in entertainment. People love you or they hate you kind of a thing. Is that wrong?
I mean, I think that's true of almost everybody in entertainment. I mean, I think we're living in a world where you really can almost not name anybody that isn't polarizing. You know, maybe a few really universally loved people, you know, Tom Hanks or something like that.
Sure.
But if you take, you know, anyone from, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen, Jackass, you know, Seinfeld, anybody, you're going to have people that love them, people that hate them, you know? Okay. And I certainly think that if you're doing anything that's, like, outrageous, right, half of the reason outrageous comedy works is because it's pissing people off. So if you're pissing people off for a living, yeah, you're going to have people that
just hate it.
That don't like it, yeah. But, you know, because I make fun of the, you know, in my stand-up as well, I, like, try to make fun of, like, you know, the conventional way of living and you know, the hypocrisy of the world. And
the job of the comedian.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of people are going to be offended by some of those things, you know? You have a conservative sort of, you know, we're first of all, the country is polarized, right?
Sure.
So if you got up on stage and said something that everybody liked, then basically there'd be nothing funny about it, right? Because everybody would just be nodding in agreement.
Yeah.
You've got to say something that's going to make people uncomfortable or make people think or joggle people out of their comfort zone. And that can be a difficult thing, I think, for comedians because, you know, I remember when I was a kid, like, you know, one of my favorite movies when it came out was, you know, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Mine
came out,
too.
You know, and I was so excited about Jim Carrey because I loved him on Living Color.
I was upset. Yeah. I was excited for Dan Marino.
Yeah, and he's Canadian, right, yeah. Well, but, you know, we were watching Jim Carrey on In Living Color, and he's Canadian, and I was so big fan of his. And then Ace Ventura, Pet Detective came out, and I was so excited for him. And I remember, like, my local paper, you know, the Ottawa Citizen or whatever, the movie reviewer wrote some horrible review about Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. This guy's just talking out of his butt and all of this stuff. I remember reading it and I didn't really even understand how somebody could not think it was funny.
It was just inconceivable.
You know, and first of all, and here you got this Canadian, you know, success story. Why is the local paper writing this? And then I realized, oh, well, because this is some old dude who writes movie reviews. And you know, and it kind of was an eye-opening thing for me. And then I realized, oh, you kind of got to piss off the conservative, you know, you know, the elites and the fuddy-duddy, you know.
I used to write for a newspaper, and my editor told me once if I was getting – I got hate mail for something I wrote, and I was kind of upset about it. And he said, if you're not pissing off half of your readers, then you're not doing your job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I have a marvelous example of this that I saw yesterday of the fuddy-duddies doing the reviews of things, by the way. Show my screen real quick, Nick. This was in the Sacramento News and Review. This is about the movie Uncle Drew with Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
And I love this guy's review. It's just such an old man comment. He goes, the message is undercut by the fact that they're all decades younger than the movie says they are.
Yeah.
And under the amateurish old age makeup, they aren't actors enough to make it work.
Yeah.
I just love how these old guys can't just have a good time.
Yeah,
they can't just let anything be silly.
Somebody's making a movie, you know, and it's hard to make a movie, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard
to do this show.
Yeah, just...
You come in here and you can tell me 10 things that are wrong very easily. It's hard work to put any production on.
But as journalists, it's our job to help people, you know, decide how they're going to spend their hard-earned money, and you don't want to have to go to a movie. You know, like, watch the trailer. And if you see it and it looks funny in the trailer, go to the movie. You don't need this dude from the Sacramento Bee telling you that it sucks.
And everybody's a goddamn journalist.
I love this guy's whole angle on this. He was sitting there. Then he goes, "Hey, wait a second! That's Shaq in that makeup. What is going on?"
And I've never seen the film, but I bet there were more things to criticize than the makeup. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
There were probably other things wrong with it.
And I like how he claims that the message was undercut. What was the message of Uncle Drew? But that's just a little, we'll move on. We'll move on. But you are absolutely right. So I guess to kind of add on to that question is, you know, you've taken me down and changed my thinking a little bit here about the polarization of things. And I have to ask, though, doing outrageous comedy and stuff like that and then trying to live a normal life after, does it ever adversely affect you? Do you ever, like, walk into a store and people see Tom Green coming in and they're just like, go the other way because they're worried you're going to do something weird to them?
No, not really, no. I mean, honestly, it's been I couldn't really ask for a better life, really. I mean, I
that's so cool. Good,
you know, for you, man. I basically, you know, every day people come up to me on the street, super excited to say hi and take a picture, and people loved the show. And, you know, I think a lot of times, like, you know, like you said, we're talking about reviewers and criticism online and things like that. People do that stuff when they're in the privacy of their home online or in a chat room because they're just trying to look at something to say. But when people really, really think about it, like, oh, I think everybody kind of liked my show. I mean, it was, you know, even if you're somebody that's attacking my show, you probably are attacking it because you watched it and you laughed at it. And now you're kind of maybe mad that you didn't do it yourself, you know, and that's why you're angry. Because I've never had anybody come up to me on the street and say they didn't like the show.
Really? Never once?
Not really. I mean, I probably about 200 people a day come up to me and are excited to talk about Freddie Got Fingered or... Yeah. Online, people say all the time, Freddie Got Fingered sucked. But every day, probably 20 people come up to me and say, Daddy, would you like some sausage? Or I love Freddie Got Fingered. So
I'm going to say if that movie didn't make you laugh, I really don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny. It was just funny.
One of those movies that made you laugh whether you want to or not.
Yeah. You've got right now, you're going to see this week, you're going to see everyone's going to be attacking Sacha Baron Cohen for this prank that he did on Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I just read about that.
I don't know much about it or anything, but I'm just saying, you know, it's apparently it was a very shocking thing that he did. I haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty awesome.
It's going to be, you know, one of these things where you're going to have a lot of people who are going to be very, very angry at Sacha Baron Cohen. And it's sort of like then you got to sit there and say to yourself, okay, well, is he not funny? Because he, you know, because everybody's saying that he's not funny. And he, and if you watch Fox News Channel, they're going to be saying, because, I mean, what is, I don't know, I haven't seen the bit, but apparently it sounds like it was pretty controversial. I think he dressed up as a veteran.
He claimed to be a disabled veteran to get Sarah Palin in a room.
Yeah, so you're pushing a lot of buttons there, right? And you're going to have some people that are going to be very, very angry at Sacha Baron Cohen over the next few weeks. And he's essentially trolling, you know, the American right. Now, you know, that's a decision you make as a performer. It's a decision that he made, you know. I choose to not make that choice.
Sure.
You know, because I personally, you know, my father's military, you know, was in the military and served in Vietnam with the Canadian military, and we've got an army, and also
since
in
when?
Since
always,
yeah, since we.
That sound like a new Trudeau thing.
Yeah, no, we've been around for a long time. I don't look up the War of 1812. Tell me who won.
You guys burned down the White House.
1812 burned.
I heard you guys burned down the White House.
Yeah, something like that.
Cannonballs fired.
good one. Yeah, but you know, but anyways, the point is, you know, he's doing that on purpose, right? He's trying to create controversy. So
it's interesting that you bring up the point that he trolled the American right, because in a way, he also trolled the American left when he put out that Bruno movie.
Exactly.
So yeah. I feel like he kind of...
He's an equal opportunity offender.
He really is. I mean, like, he really... He goes after everybody. I mean, Jewish people, everybody in all of his movies. I don't know why anybody's mad anymore.
Yeah.
Well, you know... The people that are mad these days are in the industry of outrage, right? So they're being paid to be mad.
It's our chief export.
Yeah. I mean, if you're on Fox News Channel and you're mad about something, you're being paid to be mad about it. So you're actually happy that you're mad about it. So you're not really mad, right? You're actually getting paid to be mad.
Like,
so
every
it's
day
a good thing.
Like, oh, this is going to be good. People are going to love how pissed I am off at this.
Yeah.
Like, he's just sitting there looking through notes.
Yeah,
and
if everything was going perfectly, they'd all be out of a job, right?
Sure.
And that's true of the left and the right, you know?
Absolutely.
That's true of CNN, too. You know, CNN's, you know, the arguing channel, right? Tune into the news channel and watch people argue about stuff. So, you know, I mean, I can't really, I don't, I try not to.
What's, like, Canadian news like? Is it all BBC still?
It's CBC.
CBC.
In Canada, yeah, which is... you know, we have a, you know, it's similar, you know, it's similar. Yeah. They're just arguing about different stuff.
Would you say that, and, you know, forgive my ignorance on the great country of Canada, would you say that you have, like, an equivalent Fox News, CNN, or networks that are, like, that seem to be have such weird bias to them?
Yeah, it's very similar in that sense.
Okay.
That, you know, we have a right wing, you know, we just heard about Doug Ford was just elected to be the premier of Ontario, so he's kind of like the Trump
Doug
of Canada.
Ford.
Yeah, his brother passed away, but was the mayor, Rob Ford.
Ford, I was trying to remember.
And so he was there, sort of the right wing
cocaine enthusiast.
Yeah, the right wing
crack
conservative. Yeah, absolutely. So we have this similar thing.
You know, just blew my mind. Doug Ford actually got elected?
Because
I remember
Ford,
when Rob Ford got ill.
Yeah,
and he was running for re-election as mayor. He sent his brother in his place, and
so Doug
lost.
Is now the premier of Ontario. Yeah,
you're kidding me.
Yes. Yeah, so,
does that come with a hat? It sounds like it comes with a hat. The premier of Ontario.
Yeah, there's probably a hat. I don't know.
That's a way more fun title than any of the stuff we have.
I think it's a sash. Yeah, oh, it's a sash.
Yeah, I mean, we don't. You know, we have a queen up there in Canada. Queen Elizabeth is our queen. But,
titles need more hats.
But we don't. I don't think we have hats for the politicians. Yeah.
You should for
it's not premieres, like the Lions Club, you know.
Premieres should have like a little fez, I think.
Like the
like
Lions Club.
Yeah.
That was a good reference.
So you teased us a little bit about some upcoming projects. Tell me something cool you're working on, man.
Well, the one thing I can tell you about, because it's actually going to be airing soon, is on the Travel Channel. So I'm doing some shows with them. So I have a second episode of the show called Giant America, and I go around the country and I do interviews with people who have built giant roadside attractions and huge crazy things. So that's a pretty fun show. And it's not polarizing, by the way. It's a fun show for everybody. I'd say a family show in a way, you know. It's a fun, silly show.
Travel
and,
channel.
Yeah, not yet, but we'll get to the ball of twine guy. So it's essentially a special because we're not scheduled to do more of them, but this is the second one, and if it goes well and people like it, we'll do more of those.
That's really cool.
I can't say anything about the other two television projects other than just generally I'll tell you I am bringing back a version of the talk show, the Tom Green Show.
Right.
And on a really cool network that I'm sure you love, but I can't say which one.
All right.
On air yet because it's but judging by the decor in here, I'm sure you know the channel. But don't say it yet.
I'm not saying a word.
Don't say it yet because it's not even
Nerd Talk, I got you.
Announced yet. But and then also I have a sitcom that we're also going to be shooting next year.
Do you need a fat best friend?
Sure, yeah. Do you do some acting? Yeah.
This is the greatest actor you're ever going to see.
It's a scripted show, so and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a show that I'm creating and writing, so with some writers that are working with me. So that's going to be awesome as well. So there will be sort of some more mainstream television projects coming out in the next couple of years.
That's amazing.
Takes a long time to develop these things, you know. But
and you're also going to do some stand-up too, right?
I'm at the Montreal Comedy Festival July 25th.
Right.
And then I'm here all weekend at the Carlson. So
this is like the Tom Green Renaissance period.
I just don't quit, you know. I like doing this stuff.
Why would you?
Yeah, you know, I've thought about it at times, but then I go, what else would I do? You know, so I just keep trying to do stuff. And,
you're a young person still.
The advice I would give to anybody that wants to do anything is just keep trying to do it, and eventually you will be able to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. I've gone through a few years where, definitely, you know, it hasn't been easy for me to just go be on television, you know. Yeah. I mean, you just got to keep plugging away and writing and doing your thing.
And I think in these times, like you say, the whole country's polarized and stuff. I think a lot of people realize that, like, we need people like you, like when, you know, the old show that was
more Canadians,
more irreverent. Yeah, more people not American.
Yeah.
But no, like the old show was so irreverent and stuff like that. And now everyone's so serious and so angry. We miss that old stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and we need people like Tom Green around back again.
Yeah.
Doing silly stuff, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a time for, you know, I'm in a phase right now where I'm not talking politics too much because everybody is talking politics, but I do still try to, you know, make my point about the world without making it. I don't want to turn off the, you know, the Trump supporters to the point that they can't have fun at my show.
Yeah,
I've had a few experiences where I've sort of let my political leanings be known on social media, and it just sort of becomes so negative so fast that it sort of is no longer why I wanted to do comedy. I wanted to do comedy to make everybody have a good time and laugh at my show. So
and that's what I mean. Like, you sit there and you digest all this terrible news, and you think, God, remember that show where that guy used to bother his parents?
Yeah,
I wish that was still on.
Yeah,
Diva LeBan.
You know,
we love it. I love that show, Viva LeBan. He did a lot of great stuff.
So last question for you, and you may have answered it, but I've been asking everybody that comes through here, because we have a lot of people who are just getting into stand-up and are thinking about maybe doing it for themselves. Do you have any practical advice for someone who's thinking about getting on the stage for the first time?
If you're thinking about getting on stage, doing stand-up for the first time, well, you know, first of all, that's a good idea to do it. You know, you can't just – sometimes you'll think about it and never do it. But once you've tried it, at least then you know what you're dealing with. I think that the first thing is you should probably try to write as much as you can before you get up on stage. So you have a good idea of what it is you're gonna talk about. You should, you know, definitely watch a lot of stand-up. Maybe even read some biographies about some stand-ups. A really great book, if you want some really good advice about stand-up from me, I would tell you to read Steve Martin's book.
Born Standing Up. It's the Bible.
Born Standing Up is a great book, which gives you some really good, in-depth sort of almost like a how-to do stand-up.
It really is. And if you've never read it, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to say, like, the very first page of that book has one of the most accurate descriptions of exactly what stand-up is while you're doing it. It's such a clinically well-written. I love it. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. I mean, if you really want to do good at it, you should actually take the time to read that book, take the time to watch, you know, all the great stand-ups, you know, take the time to read, you know, biographies of some of the great stand-ups, if not as many of them as you can. You know, I've probably read all of them. And learn from the greats out there. You know, it's all right there. You can go watch every George Carlin comedy special on DVD. Just go on Amazon and order them, and study the masters. That's not enough. Then you just got to try it, and then you got to do it every second you can. Get up on stage as much as you can. So find an open mic or whatever, and just do it every single night if you can, or every week, or and some actual practical advice. If it's your very first time doing stand-up, I would write your set list out. So get a piece of paper, memorize all your jokes or learn all your jokes as best as you can, and then get a piece of paper and just write a, you know, the title of each joke. So if you've got a joke about Chuck E. Cheese, write Chuck E. Cheese. If you got a joke about Donald Trump, write Donald Trump. If you wrote a joke about, you know, the House of Guitars, write the House of Guitars. So you have your list of jokes. Let's say you have 10 jokes that you're going to do, or 10 subjects you're going to do.
Yep.
Write them all down on the piece of paper. Because the thing that's going to end up happening the first time you do stand-up is you're going to get up on stage, and you're going to get nervous, and then you're going to forget your next joke. And the main place nervousness comes from, at least for me when I was starting, is worrying about forgetting my next joke.
Right.
So then in your head, you're telling your joke, but you're also trying to remember what the next joke is, and you forget, and then the audience can see your mind like sort of fritzing. So what you should do is you bring up that one piece of paper. Don't hide it. Don't have it in your pocket. Just carry it up with you when you walk up on stage so everybody sees it. So they don't think that you're lying to them or cheating or anything.
You ain't hiding
it. And then get the little stool that's on the stage. Make sure there's a stool on the stage before you go on the stage. Make sure there's a stool on the stage. Walk up with your piece of paper and a bottle of water or a glass of water. Set the stool up right beside the microphone. Put your set list on the stool, and then set your bottle of water on top of the set list. And if you ever forget your next joke, just reach down and grab your water. And then when you're grabbing your water, you're picking up your water, but you're also looking at your set list. The audience thinks you're just picking up your water, so you're not sitting there staring at your set list the whole time.
Yeah.
And
that is one of the things. If you bring paper on stage, you know, underplay it. Don't just keep it in front of your face.
Every time you forget your next joke, just grab a glass of water and take a little moment to drink your water and remember your next joke.
A good comedian here, Mikey Heller, a good friend of all ours, he always had notes, and he would always make a joke if he had to pick up his notes and look at it. He goes, oh, these aren't my notes. This is just says, you're doing great.
Yeah, sure.
I always loved that bit.
Yeah, when you get like better at doing stand-up and you're more confident, you can start doing stuff like that. Yeah. Because, like, you know, you're trying out new material and people are cool with it. But when you're brand new at it and it's your first night, you know, you try to just kind of like glance at them and not make a big deal out of it.
I love it. That's great advice.
Because, you know, and the other thing is probably the number one trick to doing stand-up and not bombing is when your joke doesn't get a laugh, just tell your next joke. Don't acknowledge to the audience that it didn't get a laugh. Just keep talking. Because if you tell a joke and it doesn't get a laugh and then you keep talking, the audience doesn't know the joke didn't get a laugh because they didn't laugh for a reason. They didn't laugh because they didn't think it was a joke. It was so unfunny, they didn't even notice that it was a joke. So just keep talking until they laugh.
It's kind of like slipping and falling and getting up and acting like you meant to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just never let them see you sweat, right?
Do you subscribe to the old adage, it's never really the audience's fault?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm just wondering.
They don't think, you can get them thinking as a unit, but realistically, I mean, you know, it's your job to get them all into one place as a group of people. I mean, you can have a bad audience. You can't have a bad audience. If they're really drunk, the whole audience is drunk. Sometimes you just get those kinds of nights where the whole audience is drunk. But I've found that generally the audience, if you get a bad audience, it's your own fault, you know? Yeah. I've noticed, you know, I don't drink before I perform. I don't have a drink even before I go on stage. I noticed when I started doing stand-up again, I was drinking a little bit. I always drink. I still drink, but I would drink after the show. But I noticed, like, if I would have a drink before I went on stage, I go, oh, the show didn't go as well that night. Or if I had two drinks before I went on stage, and I started identifying a pattern. You know, it's like, you know, I have a different kind of energy when I'm not drinking, right? You don't realize if you don't have a drink, you've got a completely different energy. You're like very focused, right? And that ends up actually translating into to energy that the audience, you know, I can tell if a comedian's had one beer before they've gone on stage. And it doesn't help anybody. Even though
you don't think there's anybody that's ever performed better.
I don't think so, no.
Interesting.
I think that there's a lot of comedians that drink before they go on stage because they've been doing it for so long that they think that they need to. But they've probably never tried it without a drink. And, you know, when you drink a lot as a stand-up, you can drink a lot on the road, right? I still drink a lot. I'm a drinker, you know.
Sure.
But I don't drink the day before I perform. I didn't have a drink last night with dinner because I know I'm performing tonight. And the anxiety starts to build up from not having a drink. And then that anxiety comes out in the form of energy on stage. And it's a subconscious thing the audience doesn't know. First of all, I never say that I don't drink on stage. I'm saying it right now on the show. But I would never say, I don't drink, because then that takes the fun out of it for the audience.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes I'll even pretend to be drinking. I'll have a soda water and lime on stage or something like that. But no, I would advise against drinking alcohol before you go on stage.
Well, I guess my last question is, would you like a beer?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'll have one Saturday night after the show.
Awesome. I'm going to be there for the late show Saturday night.
Yeah. I won't have a drink all weekend until Saturday night after the late show.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching that, actually, because I'm going to be there.
That'll be fun.
Your feature act this weekend is our good pal RJ Purpura.
Okay, great.
Who we absolutely love right here. And he is moving down to New York City next week. So Saturday night, we all plan on coming out and saying goodbye to him and watching your show and having a good time.
Oh, that'll be exciting. Good. Yeah, congratulations, RJ. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, Tom Green, thank you for being here. And if you folks would like to see Tom Green's show this weekend, get your tickets now. They're flying off the shelves. They've been flying for a month now. I think there's...
Are they on shelves?
Yeah, in Jimmy's office. Oh. In Chase's office. 585...
office?
585-4-COMEDY for your tickets, or visit carlsoncomedy.com. And you could follow Tom Green wherever fine social media is sold. Twitter, Instagram, and all that good stuff.
Sounds great. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. Follow my Instagram. I enjoy Instagram. I'm a 46-year-old man. I like my Instagram and my Snapchat. No, I'm not really on Snapchat, but yeah.
I can't figure Snapchat out.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it is still.
I have it. I can't make it work.
What do you have it for? I don't know. Either way, and special thanks again to the winner of the 2018 Funniest Person Rochester Contest, Cindy Arena. Thank you for coming in this morning, yes. Cindy. You got good things going on, and you're going to keep doing great. Nick, adequate job as usual. Brian,
can I show you one more lighting thing before
absolutely.
We go?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
This
tear
is
it all
what
down.
I would do. Just cut to your camera.
Okay, cut to me, Nick.
Okay, so this is what I would do. I would. You've got this. This light is a nice fill. This
okay.
is a soft fill.
Uh-huh.
I would. You can get a light at any camera store.
Sure.
You get a light that's kind of like about this bright.
Right.
And I would have it like right about here, about that level. See that?
Yeah.
Right about there, like that. That would be your key light. Okay.
Okay. So we put it somewhere. Okay.
Yeah. See, you just probably clip it to this.
Right.
Have it about that level. It would be. It actually will be brighter than this though. It'll
right.
Be, See, look at that. See.
Does it have the potential to blind him?
Yeah, look. Yeah, it'll be bright. Yeah, it'll
oh,
be
good.
Bright.
Okay. I'm all for
see,
it.
See
though.
That? And then
look
at the screen. See?
Ooh.
See, look.
Yep.
See how you look a little more.
There's more 3D depth to this, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you'll get a brighter light than this, so it'll actually be about this bright. See?
Right. Okay.
You're a magician.
Okay. Okay.
So that'll be nice. That'll give it a nice.
All right, I'm going to the store today.
Yeah, then nobody wants to see that.
But show me Brian. Let's see. Let's try the Brian light experiment. Yeah. Oh God, warn us next time.
Yeah.
It's my
stop making
face.
Those soft eyes at him. It's a little weird. What else should we do? What else should we do, Tom?
This might be a little close to the wall.
Yeah.
It's lighting that wall up a little bit too much.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
But you mess around with it. What I would do, if you could, is I would not sit as close to the wall. If you could, it's hard because of the space, but if you could be out a little, if it's nice to have a little space behind your head.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, broadcasting is fun. Oops.
Broadcasting is fun. Yeah. And good luck with everything, Tom Green. We'll
you
see
guys.
You, I'm sure we'll see you again.
Thank you. I
know your next project's going to be very successful. Keep an eye out for those.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching the Comedy at the Carlson Cast, folks.
I have a new podcast also on tomgreen.com. Go listen to my podcast.
I'm going to subscribe right now. Is it on...
It's on iTunes.
Is it on iTunes?
Yeah.
Cool.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right, I'm doing that right this very second. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll see you next time. Thank you. Goodbye and thanks, whatever. Guys.